We're joined today by Todd Callender and Lisa McGee. Lisa's been working with Vax Choice as a researcher for some time, formerly a teacher, so you can imagine her ability to dig, research, and find information is definitely up there. Todd and Lisa are joining us today to talk about some really, really alarming things, including a database of viruses that the DoD has, the way that human energy is going to be harvested, essentially turning humans into living batteries and walking cyborgs, as we've been saying for some time. And Todd and Lisa have the receipts. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yay, thank you for having us.
It's wonderful to have you both. So, I mean, I did a bit of a brief introduction there, Lisa, for you, but if you just want to let people know, what your work at Vax Choice consists of and what sort of topics you've been looking into.
Well, normally what I will do is if Todd or someone on the team has got something that they need to be researched, you know, I'll start doing that and started, that's basically what it's been. And then, you know, just started collecting on these topics more and more and diving in deeper and deeper, and then branched off a little bit off of those and piggybacked and started, you know, maybe going on researching something else that's connected to it. But early on, realizing all of this is connected, there is this massive collection of government entities and private entities and universities and that are creating these deadly viruses and organisms, and I'm calling them weapons. I think, and what I have found, and just going deeper and deeper into this abyss of patents and databases, you know, genome databases that also double up as an organism and a virus. So that's basically what I've been doing, and just really diving into how radiation is connected to it. Started researching, you know, radiation and cesium-137, and then that's really a foundation of all of this. And then it's just morphed into all of these other spider webs that connect.
Well, what you've both shared with me so far, just before we got online, is absolutely astounding. For anyone who's new watching here, for if you haven't seen my broadcast before, please go and watch previous interviews with Todd Callender, particularly where he talks about human beings now having a new definition, Homo Borg Genesis, now that they're patented. He's actually challenging this legally, and in the courtroom they were not able to say honestly that human beings were not patented. This is absolutely unbelievable. And how do you patent a human being unless there is something inside of that human being that is owned? It's a really truly Twilight Zone subject, but this is the time that we're living in. We're living in a time where they've openly told us transhumanism, they want to merge us with AI, they want to merge us with computers. I often describe it as, you know, AI collecting all this biometric data, Bill Gates patent 060606, you're mining crypto with the actions and the things that you do, sending it to a central database, and then you get rewards for being a good little obedient citizen. And this isn't conspiracy. This is in the patents. So it's just important to set the foundation that these patents exist. The technology that we're aware of is many, many years ahead of where we think it is. I guess, where do you want to start, Lisa or Todd, either of you, with this database of viruses? And for the audience watching, a lot of my viewers are of the opinion that viruses don't exist. So are they actually viruses, or are they simulations? Like, for example, we could never isolate COVID. There was only a computer model of it. How does that all work?
Let me just lay the foundation, because I know people are going to say, it's nonsense. There's cesium in the shots, and this whole battery matrix thing is a fraud, and just patents by themselves don't work. But I will say, Lisa dug up some good ones, which I just sent to you, one of which is titled Method and Apparatus for Transmitting Power and Data Using the Human Body, first filed in the year 2000. We also did mass spectrometry on the contents of one of the Pfizer vials, and we found cesium in it. So this isn't a question, and our client is vaccine injured. and producing the same kinds of signals and things that others are being picked up with 16-digit MAC addresses. It's not speculation. It's not theory. It's simply a conspiracy. So with that said, Lisa, let me get out of the way.
Well, Maria, what? First of all, you're right. It is like a twilight zone. And when you start finding these things, it's just, it's overwhelming and it is unbelievable. But then you come to the very realization that it is real, that this is what is going on. And what I have found, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but connecting these dots is what they're doing is, and they being, you know, the owners, the mad scientists that have free range and are unsupervised basically for years, getting grants, you know, from governments and who knows who to just experiment. It's a big, it's labs of experimentation. And, but what they're doing with viruses, or let's go back. The process that I have come to is that they've mutated. They started the mutation process with the exposure to radiation. Low levels of radiation seeped into our environment. Our bodies adapted to it at a cellular level, but we've been able to adapt to that. But throughout the course of these years that's been happening, it breaks down our system. We get sick, you know. And this whole time, the scientists are taking samples of all of those. They're taking samples from millions of people of these mutated genes and tumors and DNA, and storing these samples. And, you know, to make it sound elementary, and how I understand it is literally festering in little petri dishes. You know, it's probably a little bit more advanced than that, and this is over the course of years. So then they can start to, and they're parasitical in nature. You know, bacteria is a parasite. They're all parasitical, bacteriums and fungus. And what I started noticing is that on these databases for genes and genome sequences, proteins, kinase proteins and enzymes, they also have a separate, completely standalone, separate as a taxonomy, as an organism or a particle member of a virus family. So they're double dipping. They have their two roles as a gene, biological gene that's been bioengineered, mutated, altered, but also as a virus specimen, or, you know, and then a member of a virus family or a subfamily. There are over 20,000 viruses in one database alone, and hundreds of thousands of individual organisms that are pathogens, mutated, and as we have these illnesses and viruses, they are, when you have a storm inside of you and there is a foreign invader of a bacteria that comes in, your body system is going to start to fight that. So there is an internal storm going on or a war. That's all parasitical. So it does create a sickness or an illness. So there is, I think, samples, and I may be getting a little over this, but they are taking samples of those when we are sick, swabs. Go ahead, Dad.
What I wanted to add to what you're saying, Lisa, and I think where this this conflict comes, Maria, is people say there are no viruses. That may well be so in the traditional sense. What they're really saying is that viruses can't transmit this or that. What Lisa dug up at the Department of Energy, not the Department of Defense, it's the Department of Energy's database, are digital entities, beings. They can literally take the coding of this DNA and transmit it, or actually provide it in the shots as an mRNA or an adenovirus. So it's almost irrelevant whether people think that a virus exists or not. There are very clearly proteins that were modified that will do the job, like the HIV proteins that were put into the shots. And Lisa dug up some really amazing things as it relates to HIV proteins being used for the purpose of making people susceptible to EMF, even, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, but from satellite radiation.
Yes. And I was giving you a long, long explanation. What I think is key to this, and when I found it with, you know, sharing it with Todd, almost every single protein, enzyme, cell, a gene, genome sequences have been turned and converted, and viruses have been turned and converted into a chemical compound structure. So that means that that now has become no longer a biological gene or a protein, but it now is a, it's got a chemical equation or a chemical symbol, and it now they have converted that into a chemical compound, which is a whole
for sale.
For sale. And there's been, Maria, they're at the highest bidder. I mean, they're selling all of these.
Who are they selling them to? So,
these chemical companies, and it's online. You can find them. It's not like you have to have a password to get into their system to order. They're selling them to universities. I mean, it's think of this system that they've created. Universities are part of the labs, are part of the
defense contractors.
Yes, good. That's a great, yes. They are the contractors creating and experimenting on these. They probably pass them along or sell them to the vendors, or the vendors become brokers for these, because the university, MIT can't sell a mutated gene. So they give it to Sigmund Aldridge, or what's another big one? We've just found
Sanofi.
Sanofi, yes, thank you. And the pharma companies. And they sell them, but so it just goes back again. They sell them, they get new ones. And I think that these different companies, the big chemical companies, are given different variants of it, so that particular company is known for a little bit of an altered compound. Because that's another thing with these patents, they piggyback off of each other. The patents are absolutely fascinating. And again, I'm going to make this sound elementary, but how it made sense to me is, and starting to recognize this, I've never delved into patents before. It is a recipe book. It's a recipe collection of these compounds, these viruses, the proteins, kinase proteins, and enzymes. And it's a communication, a way of their communicating, I think, as well, because they'll alter and tweak a patent just a little bit to be able to have a whole new standalone compound or variation.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa. Didn't all of this really start with something you discovered called the death-associated protein 6, yes, otherwise known as kinase, otherwise known as DAX? And that, yes, particular entity, that organism, was genetically modified into thousands of other pathogens. I have that right?
Well, yes, it can be used. It was death protein, death associated protein 6. It is yeast. Kinase is yeast, and thousands and thousands of variations of yeast. They've made it into this death associated protein 6, which also doubles. So that's a protein. It also doubles as a gene 1616, and it also doubles as a virus in the taxonomy databases. So, and it is associated with hundreds and thousands of viruses, their subfamilies, and their strains. So it spreads out. It's got a title, but the arms of it are just endless. And the variants and the variations, and what it is, it's a toxic. It's a deadly toxic weapon, and it will be used in it's used in the vaccine or experiments. It's used for cancer treatments, but it is. I mean, the ingredients are deadly. When you go on to the PubChem databases and you dig in a little bit and find the toxicity of each of these ingredients, I mean, it's everything is poisonous. It's got the pirate face,
Yes, the skull and crossbones.
Yes, thank you, yes. Corrosive, extremely harmful to breathe in. I mean, it's terrifying what they're doing, what we're finding. And they are, well, another thing, Todd, with the, and Maria, with the protein 6, death associated protein 6, and I've noticed this not just with that, but almost all that I have discovered so far, they, which is another way to deceive us and their system, is it'll be have a name, but then it'll have several aliases or synonyms to it. So you think, okay, well, that might just have four different names. Well, it's not just four different names. Each alias stands alone as its own. It represents itself with a whole new set of equations, or a couple of new compounds are added to it. So it piggybacks off of the original, but there's an addition, or there's they ante up one of the ingredients and lessen another one. So they alter the variant just enough to have it stand alone, but it's just as toxic and poison.
I think there's an example of that one, Lisa. Hemagglutinin. Lisa and I were contacted by a client in the service. And, you know, the military was forced to retract the COVID mandate. However, they pushed forward with flu shots. So we were asked, you know, can you please look into the flu shots? And Lisa did, and she found something called hemagglutinin, which I think is exactly what you're describing. It's toxic. It makes the blood bind. It does all kinds of other things.
It's horrible.
Is that right?
We sent the, remember I found the ingredients. I mean, it's everything about that ingredient, just one ingredient. There is nothing that, none of it should be put into a human body, into any living being. Extremely toxic. And the hemoglobin,
Glutinin, I believe, hemagglutinin.
So that itself has several, they like variants. So what they'll do is and with this one in particular, is they call it hemagglutinin HA, like virus-like particles. Virus-like, the word like I have been discovering is an invitation, Maria, to allow thousands of strains of anything to be added to this one particular ingredient.
So it sounds like there's no stopping this. I want to ask one question, going back to what you were saying about the chemical companies. And when I say it sounds like there's no stopping this, I mean that it's so advanced and the tentacles are just everywhere. Yes. And they're in everything. With the chemical companies, are we talking about potentially those chemical companies, collaborating with food manufacturers, collaborating with chemtrail, whoever's doing that? Very hard to pin down who it is. Is that what we're saying?
The answer is yes. We already know that the more than 3,300 commercial food products have lipid nanoparticles in them. And those are the little bombers that contain all of these things. In addition to that, they may just have the naked materials. But remember, the lipid nanoparticles are designed to fool the body into thinking that it's just another fat, so that our natural immunity won't attack it. So it's effectively a stealth bomber. And the short answer to your question is it's in the water, it's in the food, it's in the air. However, what we've also come to find is that while we're being exposed to that, our immune system seem to do a pretty good job of protecting us against it, because this isn't new. They've been doing this for some time, decades, in fact. It's only with the main lining of these things that they're actually able to get, you know, intravenously into the cells. And my belief is that results from the HIV proteins. There are not less than three of them in each and every one of these shots. When I say shots, that was the COVID shots. I think that now extends to flu shots. I know that they're in insulin. It's the GP120, the PP14, and the AD5. Those are the proteins and others that Lisa dug up. The point is that they disarm our immune system to make us vulnerable to all of these things happening. So people who didn't get the shots, people who didn't get these proteins in them, seemingly still have the ability to use their immunity to ward them off.
Well, that makes sense, because as you said, we've been exposed to it for a very long time, and the human body is designed, it's an amazing design that is able to fight a lot of this stuff. I want to talk about, so with the people that have had the injections, right? So all of this Karen said to me a while ago, Karen Kingston, this COVID-19 and the shots are part biological, part technological. This is how she explained it. And I think she's on the mark about that. So what you're talking about is essentially the same, because you've got all of these materials that have been injected into pretty much, you know, 70% of the world's population now, that can be programmed. Now, I want to know if you've found through your research the ability to program some of these things that have been injected.
Yes, we have.
Okay. Yes. What is the extent of the programming that they're able to do?
Well, this is a new, I mean, we knew that, but this is just a very recent discovery that in the chemical compound structures of several HIV chemical compound structures of, you know, they've made it into a chemical material. And one of this, there's a list of several compounds, the structures given, and they're not given names, they're given a series of numbers to identify them, and they are all from IBM, all of them.
Yeah, and it also appears that it's really, when you say programming, that, you know, that indicates it's something that they're preset. All of these things self-assemble. All of these things are responding and communicating on EMF frequencies. And in fact, they're amplifying it. A gigahertz worth of input creates a terahertz of output. We found that in the military trial with C459-1001, where 44,000 service members were being tested on the COVID shots. It was the Pfizer protocol, a phase 3 trial. In that trial, they used something called the InTouch eDiary. It's an ePCR device, and it was reading real time what was happening inside the vax people's body and reporting it to a company in Israel, who then laundered the data and gave it back to the FDA and the DOD. The point is that this device, this ePCR, which was on their cell phones, it's an app, was communicating with these things inside of the vax people's bodies circa 2020, late 2019. So it's real-time data. It's just what Noah Harari says. We need to have intelligence on what's happening inside people's bodies. It's already there. They already have that. The hardware has been installed if people got the shots.
Yeah.
And Maria, I just want to, something that you said there, Todd, it's suggesting that it's pre-programmed. I'm talking about, yes, perhaps there's pre-programming. Of course there would be, but I'm also talking about continuous programming. Yes. So being able to tweak that.
Well, I'm saying that they're receiving instructions in real time. Forget about the pre-programming. It's irrelevant. It's that these things are interacting vis-a-vis electromagnetic radiation through signals. Mm-hmm. And seemingly it's the 5G and 6G range. So gigahertz into terahertz.
Well, this was first, you know, we've heard about Chinese super soldiers, for example, for so long. And it's no surprise that this was done with the military, Todd, because they're trying to enhance the human being, perhaps, or it's all under the guise of enhancing the human being.
Fifth generation warfare.
Yes.
Yeah, it's super soldiers, fifth generation warfare. That's right.
So my Lisa, you go. I'll talk about where my brain's going after.
Well, I just wanted to add, it isn't just military. I mean, Todd, we've had some conversations and other people have these conversations also. You know, you think of the inmates in jails. They have been experimented on. You know, I start thinking about, and God forbid, I'm a parent, and I think about these orphans and these children. I mean, this is truly... And this conversation really needs to be front and center as well, and equally given a spotlight too. This is a demonic, dark, and sinister plan. There is no other way to look at it. And whether you believe that or not, it has to start being discussed, because who in their right mind would be so... the intent is purely to destruct and distort and mutate. It has to be... There's no other way to look at that. And, you know, the harming of children and people who didn't know, you know, inmates are human beings. They did they sign up for this? They didn't even know. The military, they don't know that they're even being experimented on, most likely.
Well, there are a lot of people out there, Lisa, that actually think that this is a great thing. They think that it's great if we can enhance the human, if we can make it stronger or make it more, you know, whatever, agile, I don't know, make it more resistant to disease, then that's essentially the next step in human evolution, merging humans with AI. This is their genuine belief. I think these people are buying into a lie in a really pathetic way, unfortunately, because the people that are orchestrating this, the whole point is to sync you with AI in order to be able to manipulate you, in order to be able to deceive you and eventually get you to the point of receiving the mark of the beast. That is what this is about. So let's not beat around the bush when we talk about the agenda and the fact that, yes, it is satanic. I mean, I've spoken about this openly so many times. Dr. Mike Yeadon, ex-chief scientist of Pfizer, said, I'm not a religious man, but and I'm paraphrasing here, when you look at what's happened, there is only one explanation. These people worship Satan. This is the ex-chief scientist of Pfizer saying this. So that is clear to me. Sorry, do go on, Todd.
I wanted to ask you, you said that they're going to be fooled into taking the mark of the beast. What makes you think that hasn't already happened?
That's a great question. I did a recent interview with Hope and Tavon from Free the World Morocco. And in that interview, they were showing me an experiment that happened with luciferase, where they were able to direct the luciferase to go to a certain part of the animal's body. And what we deduced from that was that it could be programmed to go to the forehead or the right hand. They were making the luciferase go to the forehead and the tail. And so I know that the injections have luciferase in them. I can't say for certain that it's the mark, Todd. What I do think about is that final choice has to come of someone saying, right, you need to take this. You actually have to do this and worship Satan. But who knows, Todd? Who knows? Because we're told that people will be deceived.
Yeah, and that's my point. I mean, it's disclosed. It's SM-102 in Moderna, and it's the ALC-0315 in Pfizer. The other ones, I'm not entirely sure, but they all have the quantum dot luciferase technology. What we're talking about in terms of this real-time communication is, in fact, quantum. And this is one of the things that we discovered that Lisa frankly dug out when it came to the use of cesium-137. What's really important about that is the degradation. So the atomic clock, the world atomic clock, uses cesium-137. Nuclear bombs use cesium-137 because it's degrading at a certain speed, you know, one atom per second or something like that. The point is that the 5G network must use cesium-137 in order for it to operate in real time so that everything is coordinated down to the microsecond. So it's inside of people's bodies and it's outside in the 5G network or maybe 6G at the same time. My point is that everything we've talked about in terms of being, what are the attributes of the mark of the beast? They're already installed. It's an operating system. That's actually what Moderna called it. And you're right, deceived. People were deceived into taking this. So my point is, what makes us think we're not already there?
My further concerns are the deceit that is continuous, because if you are able to be programmed, if you are able to be manipulated, which, again, referring to Karen Kingston, she's been really, you know, she's done so much research on this. On the RAND.org website, they actually boast about being able to manipulate, coerce human beings with the technology that's already inside of them. So
that's right.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Maria, I found yesterday, and I was having trouble opening them, but I'm going to start going through them. They're literally there's probably 30 plus patents from that are the assignee is the CIA and NSA, and these date back to the 80s, the 70s on mind control apparatuses. A big word that they use is, you know, apparatus, because that's what it is. It's an apparatus to connect to humans, just, you know, to their station. But these date back, and it was terrifying to see. This all
well,
about
we know this. We know this. We actually have clients in our firm who suffer these very things that we're talking about, voices in the head and compulsions to do one thing or another. They've lost control of their rational thinking. These are real people. They're actually clients of our law firm trying to figure out how to stop it. You know, not that many years ago under Obama, he created the fusion centers in the United States. And these people in those centers were installing devices and testing this platform. What we've come to find since then is it's no longer really necessary to install the apparatus, as Lisa calls it, if they can actually identify somebody's genome three places to the right of a decimal. When they've got somebody's genome figured out, their DNA figured out that far to the right of a decimal, they can do it all electronically and remotely. They don't even need to install the hardware. So then the question becomes, you know, how does one get that? Does the PCR test ring a bell? But they have the technology now to remotely influence people's brains. Real quickly, I'll give an example. In the first Gulf War, the United States Army, the intelligence guys, used what's called voice to skull technology. And they told the Iraqis to throw down their weapons and surrender, they acting as though they were Allah. And that's what happened. The Iraqi soldiers threw down their weapons. They were surrendering to reporters because they heard the voice of Allah in their head remotely. That was 23. That's 30 years ago now. So, of course, they have this. Of course, it's real.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what they are capable of doing, like I'm just agreeing with you, Todd. Yes, they have control of all of us. Todd and I had a conversation, and it's a different topic, but I think it needs to really. It's made me think about this. You know, the drugs that are coming in, these horrific, horrific, toxic drugs that are absolutely, you know, they're called zombie drugs. And you see these videos here, and it's global, but here in the United States, there's, you know, Philadelphia, an area in Philadelphia, the historical area, used to be beautiful. It looks, you don't need a walking set. You don't need to go to the set of Walking Dead. It is what it looks like. And it is horrific. And I started thinking, you know, being a mother of a teenager, and just being a mother, so I've got that mama bear mother love, but we've been watching as a society, this population, and these are human beings. They're human beings. They have completely lost control of their minds of connecting to that.
I'm seeing that. I'm personally seeing that. I'm personally witnessing it. I'm seeing people go to cross the street and getting confused about how to cross the street. I'm seeing people on the road driving worse than they ever have. I'm seeing the interactions between human beings change. And it's not just because we were apart for a couple of years, although that plays a huge part in it. But they don't smile as much.
No, it's a popular, you know, I can't say this is it. Could it be that we are watching it and the more and more we become immune to it or we feel for them, but we're watching this grow. These numbers are growing exponentially of this population of, you know, we're calling them drug addicts and homeless, and they are migrating to certain areas so they stay together. And it's horrifically, you know, in hygiene, there's no hygiene. You know, there's probably massive amounts of new toxins or new, you know, parasites that they're adapting to. Is this all intentional?
Yes.
Is this all, you know, and the language, like I said to Todd, could the language today, it's homeless drug addicts. Tomorrow, the owners just change it to there's a zombie apocalypse and everybody wakes up and that's what they see. Because people aren't paying attention to it.
If you look at dystopian movies, and we know about predictive programming, and if you look at the way that they all present some sort of a ghetto where people are, you know, most people are without, most people are sort of living minimally, many people on the streets, many people kind of out of it. That's what that's what they're trying to build. And when you look at the smart cities and the fact that you can't leave your districts, I just shared yesterday, they're about to, the former Walmart executive is about to, yes, he's about to build a city that'll fit 5 million people, split into 36 districts in either Nevada, Utah, or Arizona. They haven't decided yet, but it's going to be in the desert because that's isolated. So those people can be completely controlled.
Teslosa or something is the name of it.
Yes. And it's not the first that we've heard of this, you know, the 15-minute cities. People have no idea how sinister this is unless they watch my broadcast and, you know, whoever else is reporting on this. But I mean, okay, let's talk about the fact that, because we speak about the mind control, all of these things that have been injected inside of people, can it also then be programmed to create, and with the help of 5G, to create viral symptoms or illness symptoms that will then in future be a false pandemic? Because I'm hearing through the grapevine, Todd, and maybe you can speak to this. I spoke to a FEMA whistleblower who will remain unnamed just this week, who was saying that within potentially 5 months, we're looking at a 5G attack of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got government, including FEMA whistleblowers myself, And they're on alert now and will be for the rest of the year. Actually, yes, through the rest of this year on a bioweapon terror threat, as they call it. And the short answer to your question is yes, that's absolutely correct. That could happen. Dr. Vliet, for sake of argument, she's really good about this, will tell you that, and she's qualified to tell you, that every symptomology that a human can suffer in terms of a disease can be caused or replicated by exposure to radiation. And the acute radiation poisoning is exactly what COVID looks like. A lot of these things, hemorrhagic fever, which is Ebola, which is Marburg, dengue fever, those are all hemorrhagic fevers, can be caused by acute radiation poisoning. It's a function of how much of the energy is provided and at what specific signal. And they can recreate any disease just with EMF alone.
Go on.
Where again, just my thoughts have come to this with this research is, you know, we've been mutated with radiation at low levels consistently, our bodies. So at a cellular level, they're energized by radiation consistently, and they may lay dormant. And I'm just processing this thought right now, but it makes sense to me. It's in our bodies. And so, and the origin of that radiation is an electrical charge. So when we are exposed to that, and this is where the unvaxxed are even going to be affected, because when they blast radiation, what's inside of us is going to have to, you know, it's going to get confused, but it's probably going to migrate or be attracted to that radiation instead of becoming, you know, instead of being a protector cell or a protector T cell in our immune system, it will migrate towards that. It's going to be attracted to the radiation because that's its origin.
It's a replacement immune system that Lisa's referring to. She dug that up, that, you know, part of this installation of the HIV proteins seems to be for the purpose of creating a different kind of immunity system. It knocks out, it kills the T cells, which protect us against cancer and other things. And it replaces it with these B cells that are synthetic. And just what Lisa said, they seem to be attracted to, maybe even addicted to EMF radiation.
Dr. Anna Mahaitra told me that the nanotechnology is able to go in, I forgot exactly how she put it, but she explained it so well. If you're watching this and you haven't seen that interview, you need to. It can go in and literally recreate, for example, a nervous system. It can go in and mimic your existing nervous system and replace it. It can go in and replace certain things inside the body. So the fact that you're talking about a replacement immune system isn't surprising to me. And she said this is happening in the quantum realm.
Yeah, it is quantum.
This is fascinating stuff. Now, I want to ask you with the cesium that you both said something very interesting to me offline about cesium in the shots. Is this exclusively in the shots, or is it also being found in other places, like you were saying, you know, with the other programmed viruses and chemicals and compounds and things? Is it exclusively in the shots?
It's in hydrogel for sure. Now, the question is, how is hydrogel being provided people?
Well, talk to us about cesium a little bit more. Help people just understand exactly what it is and how it's been delivered.
Well, what we can say, sorry, Lisa, go ahead. I was going to say the ingredients. They listed the ingredients as having cesium. What I was going to say to you is that we know that, at least as far as it goes with the military, because that's who's still suffering these mandates, that, for instance, in the flu shots, for instance, in insulin shots, we're finding the same chemical compounds that include all of the same things as hydrogel and additional ones. So we looked at, for instance, the contents of the flu shots that the Navy wanted to force on their people, and you find the hydrogel in there. The hydrogel seems to be the operating system, and the disclosed contents of hydrogel include cesium, amongst other things. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, yes. And where I found cesium was back 1960s. There were, and I found contracts of Department of Energy to certain experimental labs that are affiliated with the Department of Energy, but also with the military. And they were testing radiation, cesium-137, and it has an excited sister, barium-137, that will extend when cesium-137, when it flares out and it dies off, barium-137 will take over and fly farther the beams.
Barium, so, like what they're spraying in the skies, you mean?
Yes, yes, yes. And equally, so they're similar in their compound structure, but also very different in their structure. They are each separate compounds. So they started these experiments, and they would spill the cesium-137 into the river in South Carolina, specifically Savannah River. And I believe this was set up exclusively to test throughout the years, because these contracts show a piggyback, they'll piggyback consistently for 25 years on grant money to test the environment, soil, tree life, plants, bark of the tree, all the wildlife and the aquatic life, and they're functioning. So it is in everything. We're eating that, the soil, the ground, and it spreads like a wildfire, because it mimics and will take on the role of the earth's potassium that is in soil and in roots of the trees and the plants. And so there are several, I think there are four or five areas in the United States that I'm sure there's more, that what I've discovered, that there are these experiments on that take place with cesium-137 specifically. And I believe it is the number 137 is significant with the precision, but it is also because it is so readily, we accepted it at a cellular level. And when it was introduced into our systems, animals, water, you know, everything, we started a natural mutation because of it, the radiation, but our systems, so it was a flaw in the cellular level and the sequencing, and we continued to function with it, but that maintained, that mutation continued within each individual person who sequenced it. So, and then I believe that that's where they started. They created these mutations for them to then start to expand their experimenting with these mutations. But we ourselves started the actual mutation naturally from accepting, you know, the cesium-137.
Todd, you mentioned something to me about the human body essentially becoming a battery. This just shared this article from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, Next generation wireless technology may leverage the human body for energy. 6G. This is a research piece. While you may just be starting to reap the advantages of 5G, the advantages. Researchers throughout the world are already working on hard on the future 6G. One of the most promising breakthroughs in 6G telecommunications is the possibility of visible light communication, which is like a wireless version of fiber optics using flashes of light to transmit information. Now the team have said that they've invented a low-cost, innovative way to harvest the waste energy from VLC by using the human body as an antenna.
Yep. Yes. And that's really what we were talking about in terms of the cesium. When it binds to living tissue, it effectively turns it into a transducer. And like I was saying, a gigahertz worth of input creates a terahertz of output. Gigahertz is 5G, terahertz is 6G. These are the frequencies we're talking about. And as you said, they go into light. Mark talks about this, Mark Steele. And why do we have all these crazy LED lights? Why do we have Philips blue lights? What we came to find as part of this research is that in addition to those things becoming communication devices like fiber optics, right? That's light signals that they're using in those. What we also came to find is that it creates a 500% improvement, if you can call it that, in terms of bacterial growth inside of humans' bodies. When they're exposed to these certain frequencies of light, it makes us the perfect breeding ground. It makes our bodies ideal for these parasites to grow. A 500% increase in that environment. And they're everywhere. You see these blue lights everywhere.
So whoever's left from the kill shots, whoever's still living, is then further subjected to, and the key here is EMF. I mean, we've spoken about this so many times.
Yeah. Look at the Matrix, how is this different? What you just said to me, how is this any different from what we were shown in the movie The Matrix?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned Mark Steele. I'll be having him on as a guest very soon. I'm looking forward to speaking with him. And it piggybacks from my interview with Aman Jabi, where we spoke about streetlights that can kill, you know, they shine in a way that subverts the human being, forcing them to look down. They can't look up. And, you know, that's just part of demoralizing people further, part of controlling the populations, turning them into slaves. And, you know, in conjunction with what you are both talking about here, the programming inside people, the ongoing programming inside people, turning human beings into an antenna as per the University of Massachusetts, it's so clear to me where this is heading. Lisa, you wanted to say something before we wrap up for today, and I'm sure I'll have both of you back on again because this is a topic we need to be talking about more.
Well, it was just back to what Todd was saying, you know, when they, through these years, when they're taking these samples through, you know, when our kids are sick or when we're sick for years, they take the throat swab, you know, they do the nose swab. They are, that all of those samples will have that person's DNA plus the cesium-137 that's been instilled. So they are, literally creating, fine tuning, they're grooming these viruses, these organisms and these genes and you know, manipulating them and fusing them together in such a advanced way. So, you know, the limit is endless of the possibilities of what they're doing. But I think that's important. I'm trying to process this right now and realizing like all the samples that they have of these viruses are infused already with cesium-137 and barium-137. There's traces of individual, you know, they all have.
This is what you're both talking about here completely backs up what Jay Dyer explained to me months ago, where he said from the globalist zone texts, you know, going back 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, they want cities coated in nanotechnology. They want technology to replace everything that's organic and, you know, created by God. And so, yeah. And that's also the human being, so that everything's synced with AI technology. I don't know if they'll even get there, but at the rate that we're going, the world will be over before we get to that stage. But, you know, if it isn't, at least we've got this on record. At least we've got what they're doing on record, and we can prove that that really is the vision that they're trying to see through, and they're taking the steps to do it. We're out of time today, but I really, again, Lisa and Todd, thank you so much for everything that you've brought forward today. This is really bombshell information, and I definitely think it's worth us having a follow-up discussion again in the near future.
Love to. I think we have some solutions as well for people to think about. So love to. Thank you for having us.
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless.
You too.
God bless.
Dr. Zelenko saved thousands of lives through his protocol. On his website, you'll find Z-Stack, an all-in-one immune-boosting formula, as well as Z-Detox, which could be helpful for those who've been vaccinated, and kids' vitamins as well. 10% of the proceeds will go to the Zelenko Freedom Foundation to keep Dr. Zelenko's legacy going. The link is in the description below.